So a few weeks ago, I was at the Synod Assembly, and all the pastors kind of gather and talk. And pastors are known for talking about all the things that don't show up in our job descriptions. So it could be anything from a taxi service to a cleaning service to a plumbing to tree trimming. Apparently, those are all part of our job descriptions. But my favorite is when somebody always posts about an animal getting into the church. Whether it's squirrels or mice or birds or bats, or my favorite was a skunk. And they post, you know, how do we get rid of this thing on Facebook? And there is always somebody, the snarkiness of pastors, who posts, "We'll hold a confirmation service for it, make it a member of the church, and you will never see it again." But all snark aside, this is a day to celebrate. That is not permission. Not permission. Just making sure you know that. This is a day of celebration, as four of our students are going to affirm their faith after a year or 2 years of confirmation, a time of hanging on to God, of saying that they're going to listen for God's voice, to know God's voice better. And today, for all of us, is that day of hopeful faith, of remembering the time when we said, "I do believe this." All questions along with it. I do believe this. And we are part of a church, a part of a community of people that also believe and will pull us along in the times when we doubt. A promise and a reminder that we can hear God's voice better when we are together. And I think that's in all of our scriptures today. But I'm going to stick with the Gospel of John. We are dropped down in the middle of a fight. Jesus has just razzled the crowd up. He has just said, "I am the good shepherd." And while that doesn't really faze us, Jesus just used the emphatic remark of God's name, the "I am." It's the way those two verbs are stuck together in Greek that everybody is shocked and alarmed and ready to put Jesus on trial. "I am the good shepherd." And there's plenty of people that are fighting over who this guy is now. Some just say he's crazy. He's deranged. There's demon possession. Something is wrong with him that he would make that kind of comment. And then there's other people on the other side that say, he's got to have something here. And so these two groups are fighting back and forth when we pick up on our scripture. And they finally come to him and say, "All right, quit pulling us around. Stop talking in other coded sentences. Will you just tell us plainly, are you the Messiah or not?" And Jesus never answers anything plainly. He says, "I've already told you, and you don't believe. And I've already showed you, and you don't believe. So me saying it any more times is not going to help." See, these people have already made up their minds. They've already figured out that they have nothing more to listen to and learn from this Jesus. And isn't that a sad place to be? A time when we think that we've got all the answers. Like we've learned the Ten Commandments. No, at least 7 out of the 10 of them, we give ourselves a pat on the back. We know the Lord's Prayer, and we say the Apostles' Creed every Sunday, so we've got them memorized. They're in there somewhere. And we're here, aren't we? We show up and we give, and we are part of a worshiping community, and we hang around afterwards and even have a cup of coffee together. Like, we just don't have anything else to learn because we've already got it figured out. Oh, that is a sad place to be, to think that you don't have anything more to learn about the God that we have. And so Jesus says to them, "They do not believe because they are not of my sheep." More of a description of what he sees. That the wonder and the yearning for more and the passion, the love for God is already gone. And they feel like they have nothing more to learn. They don't believe because they're not part of my sheep. I think it's an apt description. Because there's plenty of people that we can talk to about our faith. That we can tell them over and over again what it means to us, but they won't understand how Jesus' forgiveness makes a difference in our lives. They don't understand why sitting on uncomfortable chairs for an hour on a Sunday morning and listening to somebody talk is actually going to encourage their faith. They don't understand what water does or what a tiny piece of bread and a little sip of grape juice or of wine, that it does something more than just feed and wash our bodies. That no matter how many times we can tell them or show them that it makes a difference in our lives, they won't believe because they haven't heard that voice of the shepherd. But knowing is not the reason that we follow. In the same breath, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." We're, I think, stuck in this independent thought that we have to go to God, that we have to figure it out ourselves and go to God, that we have to get our things in order and we have to know for certain before we can take a step toward God. But it doesn't say, "My sheep know me." Jesus said, "I know them." See, we have a God who always comes to us first, before we would even think about going to God. A God who comes to us before we even have an inkling that we need God. A God that is always moving toward us when we are trying to move away. That love and that mercy in Psalm 23 is actually God chasing after us with love and mercy, not just it following behind us. We have a God who does not sit back and wait for us to hit rock bottom and finally call out before God is with us. This is the first chapter of our sabbatical book, Where God Meets Man. It is always God making the first move to call us, to pull us together, and to show us that love. Because God already knows God has already come to us. And it's that love that God reaches out to us with that gives us the ability to trust it, to hang on to it, to believe, to follow. Ashley and Mercedes and Jacoby and Kaylee, you guys have spent 2 years with me now. And we have learned the Ten Commandments and the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer. We have gone over the whole entire story of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. That was last year. Tell me you remember it a little bit. Okay. Whew. And because that's what I've done. I've tried to teach you about this God. And we've talked about baptism, and we've talked about communion and those special ways that God shows up in our lives. But confirmation hasn't been about knowing those things. I didn't give you a test because it's not about how much you absorb. Our classes together have been about hearing God's voice. And so we've talked a lot, at least a half an hour of every confirmation class. And I've been listening for God's voice in what you've talked about. And I have heard God's voice in what you've talked about, in worrying about your friends, or in trying to figure out how to forgive somebody for something that they've done to you. Or I've heard God's voice when you talked about being concerned for something happening at your church. I hope you've heard God's voice too, because it hasn't been about knowing the things, because you can always take time out to know the things, but it's about building that relationship with the God who is already building that relationship with you, the God who showed up in your baptisms, the God who still shows up every day when you're at school, when you're stressing over finals, that God's presence is still with you no matter where you go. And the same is true here in this church. For all of you, I am honored to be a voice that echoes God's voice back to you, to have the opportunity to remind you that you're forgiven and that your past doesn't define who God is making you into, and that that love is still coming to you even if you don't deserve it, especially when you don't deserve it, that God's love is still for you. And I am so honored for the times that you tell me, "I heard God's voice today." But I think you'd be mistaken if you think that God stops speaking at your confirmation or when your pastor is gone for a few weeks. I think that you are mistaken if you think that God is done working while we are on sabbatical, because God is still speaking. And I believe that God will still speak to us through Pastor Dan, who will be here next week, because he too is a place where I have found God's voice echoing back to me. There is one more word from Jesus today that I think is what I need to hear. So he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and no one can snatch them out of my hand." So as I wonder and I worry if you're going to show up for church over the next 10 weeks, because believe me, it's been on my mind ever since you granted me a sabbatical back in November. And it's been on my mind as we're still paying off a roof, which I have a surprise for you, and as we're getting ready to do a new septic. It's been on my mind and my heart a lot, that wonder and that worry, but I know that God has got you guys tight and that nothing is going to pull you out of God's hand. So in the words of Hebrews 10, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect meeting together, as is the habit of some, but to encourage one another. I trust the God who holds us tightly in his grace. And may we encourage one another to keep listening for our good shepherd's voice, wherever it may find an echo. Amen. If you're able, I invite you to stand. And we will join together in our song of the day, "Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us."